have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. I am a winner. Look at your name and say, I see the victory. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. You got victory. You gotta seek victory over your life. Nothing can stop me. Yeah, nothing can block me. Yeah, I am a winner. I seek the victory. Nothing can stop me. Nothing can block me. Yeah, I am a winner. I seek the victory. Oh, I speak over the enemy. Yeah, I speak over the enemy.
Doing everybody, I'm Nina Taylor. Here's this week's gospel news. The Brown Boys began as the Brown Boys Gospel Singers, a group formed during the early 1980s in their native of Freeport, a village on the south shore of Long Island, New York. The group, including siblings Curtis, Dennis, and Willie Brown, along with cousin Joe Williams, changed their name during the late 1990s to reflect their contemporary sounds. Though they continued to draw from traditional gospel, soul, and funk, they issued albums such as Jump for Joy in 2005, Harvest Time in 2009, and Evolution in 2012. Even though they released their work on independent labels, most frequently on Black Smoke, the group has hit Billboard's gospel albums and singles charts. Among their most popular songs are It's All Right and Better Days. The Supreme Angels were already a popular group when Howard Slim Hunt joined them in 1956. Hunt had grown up in the little town of Walnut Grove, Mississippi, and he always enjoyed singing, particularly gospel. After a move to New Orleans and after that to Milwaukee, he joined a local singing group in 1953. 3 years later, he took up guitar and was asked to join the Supreme Angels, touring with them for the rest of the year until the incarnation of the group disbanded in 1957. Left with touring dates to fill, Hunt kept the Supreme Angels' name and carried on. Although members of the group was constantly changing, the Angels kept the quality high, becoming one of the most popular and versatile gospel quartet groups around under Hunt's leadership. Thanks to his stirring and soaring lead vocals and the fine guitar playing of Robert Sugar Hightower, the group released several albums early on for Nashville Records and later for Malaco Records, many of them recorded live. Before Hunt's death in 2007, Hightower passed in 2010. An award-winning gospel group out of Canton, Mississippi, who pioneered mixing traditional gospel with modern R&B and urban elements, the Canton Spirituals. They were formed in 1943 by Harvey Watkins Sr., along with Reverend I.S. Watkins, Claude Bubba Nichols, Warren G. Ward, Isaac Bolton, Eddie Jackson, Theo Thomas, and Roscoe Lucius. Following the senior Watkins' death in 1994, the group had been led by his son, Harvey Watkins Jr. The group released some 20 albums between 1978 and 2013 and have also earned Stellar, Dove, Soul Train, GMWA Excellence, and Urban Network Awards along the way for their contributions to modern and contemporary gospel. Stanley Brown is gospel music's go-to producer and composer, especially when a project calls for a fresh but authentic sound laced with godly reverence and an urban appeal. He has worked with everyone from Karen Clark Shear to Leandria Johnson to T.D. Jakes. His discography also includes Run DMC, Christopher Williams, Drew Hill, and a host of other urban artists, making his position in the music industry multifaceted, unique, and highly sought after. With over 20 years in the music industry, as a producer and writer, Stanley has contributed to albums that have currently sold over 12 million albums to date in the United States, garnering over 20 million albums sold worldwide. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Quartet Songs, courtesy of Gloryland Gospel. The Canton Spiritual at number 10 with God Said It. Number 9, James Spann and the Spann Brothers with Reunion. 8, Josh Miles, Oh the Joy, Live. 7, Sam Butler, Amazing Grace. 6, The McDuffies, Never Forget What He Done. 5, various artists from the album The Voice of Quartet, Volume 1. The song is The Leonard Brothers, Tell Jesus. 4, Slim Supreme Angels with Supreme Angels Medley. 3, The Harlem Gospel Travelers with Hold On, Joy Is Coming. 2, Keith Wonderboy Johnson, Thank You. And number 1, from Patrick Hollis and United with Encourage Me, from the album Gospel Musicology. Please connect with me on all social media outlets. My outlets are easy to find. Just access my website at msninataylor.com. That's msninataylor.com. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
And I'm going to just give some time to just go back over verses 3 through 6, because I do believe we have a word from the Lord, and I'm going to put it out, maybe not the whole thing, but a good portion of it we'll put out. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Let's pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the essence of your word, which always brings light. God, thank you for this opportunity, this time, and this opportunity to share with these guys, people. God, you've seen all that has taken place up to this present point in time, but God, here and now, we put this service back into your charge, back into your care. Holy Spirit, we loose you to walk up and down and to and fro and throughout this entire sanctuary and throughout the airwaves, wherever is needed. God, open the eyes, the ears, and the minds of your people. We bind up every distracted, disturbance, disruptive spirit now in the name of Jesus. God, we bless you because here and now, your anointing, your spirit, your power has permanence in this place. Your spirit, your power, your anointing has precedence in this place. God, we're just releasing into this atmosphere now your word. So, Father, as I decrease, you increase. Holy Spirit, take control. Teach and train thy people that will know what to do when situations and circumstances show up. Angels of the Lord go up and down and to and fro throughout this entire sanctuary. Arrest the attention of the people of God, that this word may be heard, not just in here, but outside and wherever else my voice is being heard in this particular time and place. We give this to you, and we turn it into your hand, your charge, and your care. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. From the passages of scriptures read in your hearing, I need you to say to yourself, I was going to have you say it to your neighbor, but sometimes we have to talk to yourself. How many know you got to speak over yourself sometimes? How many know you've got to encourage yourself? Sometimes when you're going through something and you just say to yourself, enough is enough. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of whatever it is that I'm dealing with. So say to yourself, simply say, self, this means war. Self, this means war. I heard one person. Everybody else is sitting here like they just went to sleep. I'm going to keep saying it until you say it. Say, self, this means war. It's time for me. I'm ready to rumble. I don't know about you. Now, I know when we look at the word, and I want to say something here. The title is This Means War. You know, when we talk about war, we physically know about those confrontations that take place right now in Ukraine, Afghanistan, in the Sudan, and other places where the enemy comes against the people of that particular territory, and they try to take over, they try to confiscate, they try to overpower, and sometimes this is what the enemy tries to do. We have to learn how to get ready to rumble, and if we're going to adopt a description of what the word rumble means, we can get several interpretations, and I'm just going to use one. Merriam-Webster says to rumble in the sense of scriptures that we're taking our time to hear the voice of God, get ready to go into battle. We've got to learn how to get ready to throw down, to get ready to brawl, to get ready to fight. One of the 20th century definitions that was used in a Broadway play called West Side Story, where the word brawl was used, was between two rival gangs, and it described what we know today as a rumble. And when there was a rumble in the jungles, many of y'all remember October 30th, 1974, in Kinshasa, Zaire, Africa. They called that the rumble in the jungle. They declared war on one another, meaning that the one that had the crown had to turn around and defend the crown. What I'm trying to make you understand is as you are walking with the Lord, you are going to encounter trials. You're going to go through trouble. You're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go through persecutions. A lot of times you're going through the madness that you're going through is because you're not paying attention to what the word is trying to tell you. God tries to warn you about whatever is going on in your life. God tries to encourage you to come, to take time to pray. I've got some information that you have need of. I've got something I've got to share with you. Why don't we understand the very fact that God is the commander and chief, and when we go to him in prayer, he gives us instructions for what is ahead of us. We don't just pray because we've got nothing better to do. I hope to believe that we're praying because we need to hear from God. I hope we're praying because we need a word from the Lord. I hope we're praying because we need some guidance. I hope we're praying because we need some direction. We've got to learn to go and get some information from God. Some of us just seem to think that life is just going to be a bed of roses and we're going to just love everybody and everything's going to be all right and all our problems are going to just go away. And, you know, we're supposed to suddenly become loving and submissive and docile. We're supposed to start walking in the spirit of love. We ought to be walking in obedience. And that could not be further from the truth, because as you have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are being challenged on a day-to-day basis. God is constantly continuing to allow you to grow and mature in him, but a lot of us don't understand how the maturity process works. You see, like fine gold, and it's not fine gold when it's first brought up out of the earth. It has a lot of slag. It has a lot of growth. It has a lot of unnecessary material on it. It has to be tried in the fire so that all that extra stuff can be burned off. And I have to say this as I'm speaking to you. Some of you won't allow God to burn that growth and that slag. You'd just rather be in your carnal state. I'm not saying everybody in this place, and if you're listening to me, I might be talking to you. You just let yourself be what you are. There are three types of individuals in this world. There is the natural man who doesn't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of his sin. Then there's the carnal man who's given his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he has not grown enough to know how to walk in the power of the Spirit. And then there's the spiritual man. You got to recognize that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trying to get from that natural man to that spiritual man. I pray we're paying attention, because even this week, there's going to be some things we're going to have to deal with. We're living in a time where people would rather believe and defend lies rather than refute, face truth. We don't have to look far. I can even remind you of something that happened just 2 years ago when said-to-be Christians stormed the Capitol. Yeah, they did make mention on TV that they were Christians. Well, I heard what they said, but if I took their action and pinned it against what they're telling me, that's another story. Nonetheless, but we have to understand that while we are dealing with these things, we have to recognize that this isn't something that God was not aware of. And think about it for a minute. Jesus himself went through some of the same things that we are going through. Sometimes you have to say, this means war. And what I mean when Jesus said to himself, this means war, the very fact that he came down through 40 and two generations, was born of the Virgin Mary, and had to live on the face of this earth for 33 and a third years. Don't think for one second that he did not face opposition on a day-to-day basis. But I want to go past his first 33 years and get to the place called Gethsemane, where his greatest battle took place. I already figured out that these notes are absolutely useless, so I might as well just go ahead and put them away because they are not helping me at all. Nonetheless, the bottom line, Jesus in Gethsemane had faced his greatest trial, his greatest trouble. You see, the enemy has to come and to test you and to try you. Jesus told Peter one time in Luke chapter 32 and verse 32, I got it right. 32. He said, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. How many of you know that the enemy, if he could take you off your game, if he could cause you to detour, if he could cause you to walk away from God, if he could cause you to quit, if he could cause you to throw in the towel, he would do it. And the only way he can do it is if he keeps testing you, keeps trying. tying you, keeps putting things in your way, and keeps causing things to come your way. You've got to declare, this is war. I'm declaring war, and I'm just standing for Jesus. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fail. Jesus tells Peter, Simon, Satan has desired that he may sift you as wheat. But here's what I like about that. Jesus says, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. In other words, I prayed to the place and point that your faith will not be reduced to the place and point of inactivity. And when you are strengthened, when you've gone through your trial, you may have fallen a couple of times, Peter. You may have faltered a couple of times. Yes, you did deny me while we were standing around the campsite as they were preparing to nail me to the cross. But when you are converted, I need you to strengthen your brethren. And so today I come to strengthen you to let you know that it ain't over until God says it's over. You have not lost this battle. You have not lost this war. The battle's already been fought. The victory's already been won. How do I know? Isaiah 53:5 reminds me that your Lord and my Lord was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon his shoulders, and by his stripes we are healed. Not just physical healing. This is spiritual healing. You've been prepared and reconnected to God. It's mental healing because he's given you perfect peace, which with your mind stayed on him, continues to put you in a good place. It is emotional healing. Get out of your own feelings. Half the problem is you're in your feelings. As long as you're in your feelings, the enemy is in your feelings. I bet y'all didn't even realize that, did you? You feeling a certain kind of way because Sister So-and-so didn't speak to you. So if you ain't speak to me, I ain't going to speak to her. Get out your feelings. You got to understand your emotions are a temporary thing. Your emotions are momentary, and they're trying to reveal to you that you're feeling a certain kind of way. You have to take charge and control of the things you allow to permeate from your mouth, permeate from your actions, permeate from your reactions. It is you. We want to grow in Christ, but we don't want to do what's needed and or necessary. I don't know what to say, but I mean, here it is, even now as I'm speaking. We don't have attention because of the simple fact that folk won't let the enemy leave them alone. There's a time and a place for everything. And I'm going to be careful what I say, but there is a time and a place for everything. Everything. The enemy knows how to distract you. The enemy knows how to defeat you by way of that distraction. And so you find yourself in a position trying to accelerate, I'll use that word, and all you're doing is decelerating. All you're doing is faltering. All you're doing is falling down. Why? You didn't take time to go talk to the one who has everything that there is. You can't dwell in the secret place of the Most High or abide under the shadow of the Almighty if you won't even come to him. Kind of hard to do. I know there are folk out there, they'll tell you they're a good person and they treat people well and they do this, that, and the other. But the truth of the matter is, it's not about how well you treat people. It's not about how good you think you are. It's about you making a commitment to my God in heaven through his son, Jesus Christ. You asking for help. You cried out for help. You asked God to open the door. You've asked God to make a way. And yet and still, as God is doing this, he's trying to cause you to come directly to him. He said, call unto me, I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. We've got to recognize that God is trying to bless us and be a blessing to us. And the only reason why you're not receiving is because you're not believing. You're not allowing him to work in you, with you, or through you. This means war. What are you going to do? Seriously, what are you going to do? Business as usual? You hope tomorrow's going to be good? You hope the next day is going to be okay? You hope you make it through today? Why are you hoping? Why don't you just simply believe? And know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Let me share something with you. That scripture we read in Matthew 11 and verse 12 it says up until now, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence taketh it by storm. All it actually means is up until this day, we have had to press into this kingdom. You are not just going to walk into the kingdom of Almighty God. Yes, your spirit is saved. Yes, Jesus is your Lord. God is your Father. But there's a devil that's trying to make sure he blocks and stops you from getting in. I don't know how many of you have ever watched hockey in your life, but there are, I don't know, 10 people on the ice or something like that. I don't know what they are, offenders, defenders, whatever they are, but they got two goalies. And the job of the two goalies is to keep you from scoring on them. Do you not realize that the enemy is acting like a goalie in your life to keep you from the blessings that God has set specifically for you? He's blocking. And he gets away with it when you just take the, oh, well, maybe next time attitude. He wins every time you said, that's it, I quit, I can't do this no more, I've had enough. He wins, and you don't get that blessing. But I'm just here to let you know, if you are determined to go into the enemy's camp and take back what the devil has stolen from you, has he taken your peace? This means war. Has he taken your joy? This means war. Has he messed up your finances? This means war. Is he messing with your marriage? This means war. If he's messing with your education, this means war. Has he got you in your feelings? This means war. We used to play a game back in the day, a card game called I Declare War. And how many of y'all remember the game I Declare War? You never played it. That's you too young. No, I'm joking. I'm messing with you. Anyway, in that game, you put a card down until you had two cards that matched that came down on the board. Y'all help me remember these. I haven't played that game in so long. It just came to my mind just now. And then when you would turn around and you would have the same card on there, you would say, I Declare War. The highest card would win. Is that how the game used to go? You've got the highest card there is. The King of Kings is on your side. The Lord of Lords is on your side. The Alpha, the Omega is on your side. I declare war. You, in case you fail to understand, Jesus went to the cross, busted all the devil's teeth out, and now all the devil can do is walk around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and this is how he does it. He gets you to trip your own self up. A lot of you didn't even realize that, did you? When the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, this is how the enemy gets you to trip yourself up. He can't bite you with teeth. He can't do that. He can gum at you. That's all he can do. And, you know, I don't know how many of y'all have been around babies. When they're trying to, their gums itch, they'll get the hardest thing they can find and start doing this. That's what the enemy does. He can't hurt you. How he hurts you is when you open your big mouth and say the wrong thing at the right time. That's how he hurts you. That's how he defeats you. That's how he brings you down. Oh, I think I'm going to be sick today. Now, I got to put this out there, too, because I don't want none of you super saved folks to run around here talking about seeking Messiah. He shall come on a Honda. Any word you speak has to have faith in it, whether it's positive or negative. When it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it is a principle that lets you know. It doesn't say positive faith. It does say now faith. And it doesn't say if that faith is positive or negative. When you're working in the positive, you're releasing something that's going to work for you in the positive. But when you start talking in the negative, I think I'm going to be sick today. Oh, I don't feel. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to let you know how you open the door for the enemy to come in. But I've got something that you need to know. The prophet Isaiah said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts a standard. This means war. We're in the perilous times. We're in the last days. We're in evil times. God is not joking. Hell is still smoking. The devil ain't playing, and he's still out there slaying, taking folk with him. causing folks to commit suicide, causing folks to commit homicide, causing folks to do hurt, harm, and danger to other people with no remorse. I can't say it enough to you. What are you going to do? Now it's time for you to make a decision. What are you going to do? Yeah, I'm pausing for a minute. What are you going to do? Business as usual, as I said earlier. It don't matter. When I leave here, I'm going to go home, wash my face, eat some food. You don't have to watch the Knicks lose because they lost last night. You don't have to watch the Warriors lose because they lost last night. Maybe you might watch the Philly game, or you might watch a hockey game, or you might go for a walk. But you got to start thinking about the days you have left on the face of this earth. How are you spending them? Is God getting glory out of your life in the days that you have left, that you have? Your hair is a number. I don't know if you're going to live to be 100, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever the case may be. What you need to pay attention to is your life should be better than it is. And for some of you, life is great. So you've been walking with the Lord. You've been sharing. You've stayed positive. You've allowed the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, guard, and govern you. But then there are those who need your help. What are you going to do to help them? There are some folks that don't know how to declare war. They don't know how to fight the good fight of faith. They do not understand that the weapons of their warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It don't make sense for you to get in your feelings and get an attitude and go to cussing and fussing. Oh, I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord. God knows my heart. God knows you want to raise up in your flesh the first chance you get. He knows that much. When it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they are not fleshly, they are not physical, but they are mighty through God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. You don't go to what you see on the surface. You go to the source. And you find out where is all this drama coming from. And you turn, hit the shut-off valve right there, pulling down of strongholds, things that have got you in bondage, things that have got you slipping and sliding, and things that are causing setbacks, and things that are causing you to fall time after time after time. And yes, every last one of us has some kind of habit or something that we're dealing with that we need the Lord. We want God to deliver us from it. But the truth of the matter is, until we're willing to let go, it's going to keep coming. Paul talked about a thorn in his flesh. It wasn't the fact that Paul wanted this thorn to go away. Paul realized that God wasn't going to remove it. But God did tell Paul that his grace was sufficient. So now we got to turn to the all-sufficient grace to help us to manage this thing to the place and point until it dissipates and eventually dies. In closing, let me simply say this, and I know, everybody, this ain't going to be a shouting message with all that we've gone through, and we're still going to do communion. I just believe that God gave the message for me to really understand what it means to declare war. I'm declaring war as the leader of this church. I mean, on paper, we got quite a few people, but publicly, we see not that many, and that's okay, because it's not about the numbers. Those that need to be here should be here, but aren't here, we can't do anything about that. Those of you that are here, you have hope, you have a chance, and you have another opportunity. I'm just telling you to take what God is saying and use it for your daily living, starting today. Don't accept second best. Don't accept something that is not up to the standard that God has set for you. Don't put up with the madness and the foolishness of the enemy. Don't put up with it. Don't just sit there and say, well, okay, there's nothing I can do. Yes, there is something you can do about it. You can pull down those strongholds. It says they're not carnal but mighty. How? Through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And here's something else you need to understand. Go back and read verses 3 through 6. You have a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What that means is set the example. Let another Christian know how God expects us to live by walking in the light of his word the way he is calling us to walk. Because somebody did you wrong, don't walk up to me and tell my bishop, I don't know, I should meet Sister So-and-so behind the corner. I'm going to whoop her tail. You know what she said about me? Uh-uh. I'm not going to agree with you. So they ridiculed my Lord. They ostracized my Lord. They criticized my Lord. They beat him, pulled the hairs out of his face, tore his back wide open, put nails in his wrists and in his feet, and hung him and suspended him between heaven and earth. They hurled all kinds of threats at him. They murdered him. And the Bible says, as a sheep dumb before its shearers, he opened not his mouth. Sometimes you don't need to talk. Prayer is your best bet. Sometimes it's just a prayer. I'm going to talk about a situation, and the individual is present. We had a minor altercation a few weeks ago. But you know what? It was just too easy for me to turn around. And I know I sent a text, but I did say I was disappointed. But I didn't say how I was really feeling because I had to pray. Because if I had seen him physically, we would have had some words, okay? We would have just had some words. But God, sometimes you have to take a moment. See, everything that you're looking at is not what it seems like. The enemy makes it look like there's a tsunami coming or a tornado coming, a hurricane coming, like some disaster is headed your way. Sometimes it's just a smoke screen, and all you got to do is take a minute, step back, let go, and let God. The situation worked itself out, and I was happy about that because it could have been escalated to something that it did not need to be. That's my example, and I'm being transparent because I want you to understand that it ain't always about you, boo. Sometimes God allows things to happen to better you, to improve you, to make you better, to elevate you, to mature you. And those things that used to bother you 2 years ago actually should not be bothering you now. You should have outgrown them. But if they're still bothering you, maybe you're still a baby. I'm just saying. This means war. If you value your spiritual life as much as you value your physical life, I declare you better go to war. Go to God first. Figure out how to fight this fight of faith. You can't fight the devil. I heard somebody say yesterday while we were on our men's prayer, you know, we have to fight the devil. No, you don't. You can't fight the devil because if God lets you fight the devil physically, you lose every time, every single time. You would never win. As a matter of fact, you'd be obliterated, annihilated. All right? Your job is not to fight the devil. Your job is to resist the devil. That's what God called us to do. Resist him. And the Bible says he will flee. When he realizes that the strength of Christ is in you, he ain't safe. Finally, my brethren, I'm going to encourage you. If you're going to declare war, A, number one, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God, whereby you're able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And it's amazing that Paul uses that phrase when he says, whereby you are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the word wiles means all the tricks, the cunning artistry that he comes up with, all the smoke screens that he throws, all the foolishness that he'll throw in your path to make you think that he's got you defeated. Put on the whole armor of God. When you put on a belt, and men and some ladies who do wear them, when you put on a belt, really it's supposed to be holding your pants up. Am I right? Why is it that we don't understand that the truth of God's word upholds our heart? Think about it. The breastplate of righteousness, the breastplate of right standing, it protects the innermost parts, your heart, your lungs, your intestines, your liver, your pancreas, that's naturally speaking. A Roman soldier would put that stuff on so he would not be impaled by a flaming arrow, or he would not be impaled by a sword or a spear. That's why he has on that breastplate, to protect this area. The breastplate of right standing protects your position in God. Chiding your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace. Not the gospel of war, because the gospel is not about war. The gospel is about love and peace. No matter where you go, no matter where you walk, everywhere you tread, God wants you to spread the good news that Jesus lives and he can live in you. The helmet of salvation, you've got to gird up the loins of your mind. You've got to protect what goes into your ear gate. And it doesn't matter whether it's physically out there in the world, whether it's on television, whether it's on the radio, whether it's on your iPad, on your iPod, or whatever it is you're listening to. I'm getting to the point and place now, and yes, I'm going to confess this. There were certain comedians I used to like. I mean, I have to respect them, but now I can't listen to them. And I'm not going to start naming them because it's a laundry list right now, okay? Some of them have passed on. I mean, you know, even when I hear them now, what was once funny to me is no more amusing to me. Because when you've got to use profanity every other sentence or every other word, I can't deal with it. And I want to be that way. I am not being pious or self-righteous. There are certain things I can't let in my ear gate. I heard a preacher on TikTok not that long ago, and he was caught up in the spirit, and I can appreciate his words, but he slipped and said one word wrong, and then he just stopped the entire service, said, stop the music, and they stopped the music. He said, some of y'all are cringing because I said, and then he said the word that he said. Well, why did you even go back after it? Leave it alone. You made a mistake. Let it go. We make mistakes. We ain't perfect. Okay, well, maybe I'm the only one that's perfect. I'm joking, y'all. Don't take that serious. We're not perfect, and God knows we're not. But God also knows that if we're not going to strive for higher heights, deeper depths, that we are not going to strive to be better. If we're not going to strive to be better, you're going to be like either one of those three people I mentioned earlier. You'll either be like the carnal man who don't know Jesus and the pardoning of his sins, and here's something about the carnal man that you may not be aware of. The carnal man could be right here in church, in the building I'm talking about. Carnal man could be in church. The devil goes to church. I bet y'all didn't know that either, did you? The devil goes to church. Carnal man could be in church. And when I say carnal, they've asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life, but they're not doing anything to improve their life. That's what I'm talking about. I left out the natural man because it's obvious he has no desire to know who Jesus is at the moment, but he will eventually. And then the spiritual man is striving to be all that God has called him to be. He understands what it means to be an imitator of God through Jesus Christ. He understands what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. I'm going to stop right there. This means war. From this day forward, look at your life that you say as being in the army of the Lord. You are in a battle. Your life is the prize, and there's an enemy trying to strive and fight to collect your life for his side. And if he gets you on his side, he's won. He separated you from God. But he can't do that. Think about it. Did you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Jesus prayed a prayer in John 17. Jesus prayed in John 17 to keep them as you have allowed me to keep them. He says, they were in my hand. Now I commend them to your hands. In other words, protect. So if you're a believer, you make a mistake, get up. The Bible says a just man falls seven times, but he gets back up again. Don't wallow in the mud. Don't wallow in your mistakes. Don't wallow in your shortcomings. Get up, ask for forgiveness, and move forward. Ask God to help you how to be the overcomer that he made you to be. Ask God to show you how to be more than the conqueror. More than the conqueror. Jesus Christ was the conqueror and getting the keys of death, life. I know, it's right there. Getting the keys of death, hell, and the grave. See, it takes a minute. You know, I got so much swirling around in my mind right now. Death, hell, and the grave. He was a conqueror, but he made you more than a conqueror simply because of the fact that you did not have to go fight the battle. It was already fought for you. All you got to do is walk in it. How hard is that? How hard is that? OK, Okay, this is my third. I'm getting ready to close. For those of you that may not know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins, you need to understand something. I'm not going to go with the ABC salvation today. See, right now, in this hour, in this moment, in this day, your life literally is at stake, even if you don't understand or even acknowledge it. If you never hear my voice again after this afternoon, and God calls you home or allows something to happen that causes you to leave the face of this earth, do you not realize that every chance that God has given you to come to know him, to accept his son as your Lord and Savior, he's going to remind you of it. You got a choice to make. And if there's anybody in this room right now that has not surrendered their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a choice to make. Just as sure as you're breathing and you can see me and I can see you, that's your spirit, man. That's the real you. That part of you has got to go somewhere in eternity. Does it go with Jesus or does it go into the waiting place called hell, which eventually is going to be thrown into the lake which burns with fire? Go back and read the book of Revelations if you want to know how all that acts. But the question is, where do you plan to wait? When you leave this earth and go to the other side, which is eternity, where are you going to spend eternity? If it's with God, it's a simple solution. Receive and accept his son, Jesus. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, says, what saith he? The word is nigh thee, and even in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple as that. Do you want Jesus in your heart? Do you want Jesus in your life? Or do you just want the benefits? He'll allow you to enjoy some benefits, but there's going to come a point in time when you're going to have to make a decision, and that choice is yours. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. We're going to take a moment to get ready to prepare for our Holy Communion. We pray that you've gotten something out of the word. This means war. Declare war on your situation, your circumstance. Declare war on those negative areas of your life. Declare war. And then see what the word says so you'll know how to fight, so that you will know how to fight. Let's get ready to prepare for our communion. I don't think Minister Whitfield is on with us. I can't tell. So we're going to just sing a couple of verses of I Know It Was the Blood. Dr. Booker, if you'll meet me in the back, we'll begin to pull everything together. The song simply.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ power to stand or on PayPal, preacher719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.